fascinated with the funny music I hear on your radio. So listen to this.
Hello, Magic Transistor Radio, Magic Transistors, sorry. Welcome to another Beach Boys album review. It's been several months since the last review I did for the Love You album. That was like in April. I just checked the date that I posted that one. I moved in May, or was it June? I can't remember now. But anyway, it's been a long summer. Then after I got settled in, I was dealing with heat, working outside and in Texas, and I just was often too tired to do anything like this. So finally I'm here and I'm doing it again, so yay. Okay. And it's cooled down significantly now. It had been in the around 100 every day, and now it's in the 80s. So that's actually cool for after having a long, hot Texas summer. So, speaking of cooling down, the MIU album was released on October 2nd, 1978. And I don't have a name for a manager at this point. I think it was Stephen Love. Or Stan Love, Steve Love or Stan Love, one of Mike's brothers, I believe was managing them at this point. And so this was after Brian had Brian had control of the last two albums where he wrote or produced both of the albums. I say or produced because 15 Big Ones was mostly covers. Love You was mostly originals, and he produced and wrote all those songs. But, and now it's like they've taken the reins away from him, and I'm not really sure why other than these weren't. There could be several reasons. Number one, Love You was a commercial disaster, even though I loved it. I thought it was better than 15 Big Ones. I think because 15 Big Ones was fairly commercially successful, rock and roll music was number 5 on the charts, and I think 15 Big Ones has, you know, sold pretty well, that they give him another shot at it. And then Brian was being a little bit more creative with Love You, but it was in a very weird way and just was a commercial flop. So this was kind of a strenuous era for the Beach Boys. I think Brian was getting back into drugs, perhaps. Although, let me say that Dennis and Carl were getting into drugs. Stan Love, Mike's brother, was trying to keep Brian away from drugs. And I read a book that's kind of interesting called The Beach Boys' Endless Wave by Russian Rocky Pamplin and Ron Hamady. Now, Rocky Pamplin is a very controversial figure in the Beach Boys world. A lot of fans can't stand the guy. Although Eugene Landy is hated too, but he gets a lot of publicity for some reason. But this guy, it's like he wrote a book and everybody's trashing the situation. I thought it was interesting. I don't know how much is true. It's true. It doesn't seem to contradict the other things that I've heard from the other side, so to speak. Like Rocky Pamplin is one of the villains in the Beach Boys world. So most of the other biographers and writers about the Beach Boys will mention him in a negative light, kind of like Eugene Landy or Murray Wilson or whatever. And he, you know, he and Stan Love, Mike's brother, did some things that were not very good. They were kind of abusive, I should say. But their goal, their job was to be bodyguards from Brian and keep him away from drugs. And I thought it was an interesting take from his perspective. You know, basically kind of what Eugene Landy was doing, but it was more in family, right? And The problem was that on tours, Carl and Dennis would sneak drugs to Brian. And so Rocky and Stan Love didn't like that at all. The one thing that kind of makes me cringe, or one of a few things, is that they kind of looked at Brian as the money maker. And to me, it seems odd that they're keeping drugs away from Brian, but not from Dennis and Carl. You know, like, they were just upset that they gave drugs to Brian. And I guess in a sense that does make sense, because Brian had problems, you know, like mental problems, mental health issues because of that. But Dennis and Carl also struggled on stage at this point. You can find a 1978 Nebworth, I don't know if that I said that city right, Australia, Perth, Australia. And anyway, if you find that, you'll see that Dennis and actually Carl is the worst in that. Dennis seems to, if he is stoned, he seems to be holding it well. But Carl, you can tell he's on something. And anyway, this was, and meanwhile, Mike and Al were the meditators. They were anti-drugs. They felt that it was ruining the band. And the group almost broke up at this point. I don't know if it was before or after the MIU album, but there were two different touring jets at the time. You know, one was meditators and one was the party guys, you know, Carl, Dennis, and probably some of the musicians in the group, in the backing musicians and stuff. Whereas there were other musicians and tour guys that were with the meditators, I guess you could say. And Brian, there was one time that Dennis and Carl were asking Brian to join them, and Stan Love and Rocky would not let him, and this led to a big fight amongst the Beach Boys, and saying, hey, you have no right to force him to go with you and all that stuff, you know. So that was kind of the thing that was going on at that time, and it was interesting to hear Rocky Pamplin's take on this. Now, there were times where I got the vibe that when he beat up Dennis or beat up Carl, it was almost like he was proud of it in the book. But other than that, like, I mean, that was terrible. But, like, I think the vibe that I get from Stan Love was an NBA basketball player, an ABA basketball player, and his son was even better than him, Kevin Love, who was an all-star NBA player. But the vibe that I get is that Rocky and Stan Love were like jocks, you know. They were like jock bully type guys, you know. They would have been the personality of Vince McMahon or who was that head coach for Indiana for a long time, Bob Knight, you know, those kind of, that's, I really don't know these guys, but that's kind of the vibe I get. And it kind of seems contradictory to an artist type like Brian. And it seems that they treated Brian well, from what I gather. They weren't abusive to him. It was more of his brothers that they couldn't stand, and they were keeping drugs away from, you know, or they would get mad at them. So that's kind of the vibe I got. Now, Mike Love gets a lot of flack for this, even though he had nothing to do with it. He supported keeping drugs away from Brian. He hated the drugs part. It wasn't that. But he also was against violence, and he has spoken out against what Stan did, his brother, did to Dennis or Carl. He did not support that. So Mike was anti-violence, and, you know, so anyway, I thought it was an interesting book. In fact, I'm one for hearing the other side of any topic, even if somebody is the villain. Like, I would have loved to have a Eugene Landy biography, or even if Eugene Landy's son wrote a book. I think that would be interesting to hear that perspective. you know, if Murray Wilson ever wrote a book, I would have been interested in that. So, like, for me, it's like I like to hear the other side and see, get their perspective. And sometimes it's just not as, you know, I think everybody's trying to be the best, you know, do the best they can do. And sometimes they make mistakes. But, yeah, so I thought of that book because it fits in with this time. And now back to the album review. So the producer for this album, there's two actually. Al Jardine was made the producer, and Ron Altbach, who is also a musician and wrote some songs on here. And the reason this album was called MIU is because it was recorded at MIU Studios or MIU or Maharishi Institute University. So it's, I guess it's a studio at this college. And from what I gather, most Brian, Mike, and Al were mostly involved with this album, and Dennis and Carl were not. Although they are on the album, I don't know if they showed up to this studio or if they recorded their part somewhere else. If they were recorded beforehand, I don't know. From what I've read about this is that Dennis and Carl were not as involved in this album, and they didn't like it. They were not fans of it. And so, anyway, that's kind of interesting. So at this point, Mike and Al, or Brian's kind of siding with them, I guess. So the vote was kind of 3-2 on the side of the Meditators, you know. And that's kind of what was happening at this point. And to be fair, Dennis and Carl were doing drugs and all that, so they weren't very organized with their lives at this point. So Mike and Al kind of had to take control, and Brian was kind of slipping, although, you know, he was under security. So it sounds like, from what I read in this book, is that for the most part, they were keeping him clean. Unless Dennis and Carl got, you know, snuck him something. But all right, the album cover is a photo in a circular frame of a sun setting over the ocean wave, surrounded by a cream-colored background, and then the name of the band is in a stylistic white, which I think is the style that they still use to this day. Although I think that style of writing started with 15 Big Ones, but they still use that as their logo, kind of. I like the cover. I think it's not a classic album cover. It's very simple, but I like the picture, and I like the way it's a circle, you know, kind of thing. So it's not great, but it's not bad by any means, and I give the album cover an 8 out of 10. Now on to the songs. Track number one is She's Got Rhythm, written by Brian Wilson, Mike Love, and Ron Altbach. Brian Wilson sings that chorus part, and Mike Love sings the verses. And I think that's it. I don't think Al sings any parts on this, but anyway. This is a mixed bag for me. I love the verses that Mike Love sings, and I can't stand the... I'm not a huge fan of Brian's part on this one. His a cappella is kind of annoying. And, I mean, not a cappella, his falsetto is kind of annoying on this one. And plus the music is just kind of cheesy. But those verses are pretty eerie and interesting. So that's my thought on She's Got Rhythm. The strength of this is the hook and the catchiness. And overall, this song gets a 6.8. Dum 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 be do be dum 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 be do be dum 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 be do be dum. Track number two is Come Go With Me, written by C.E. Quick, sung by Al Jardine. I'm not a big fan of this cover. I'm not even a big fan of the original song, although if I were to listen to it, if I was in an oldies mood from the 50s, I would not mind hearing it, but in this context, I'm not a big fan of it. There are covers that I like, but this is not one of them. And the scores are going to be lower, mainly because it's a cover, but it wouldn't do very well anyway. But overall, this song gets a 4.6.
Hey, little tomboy, sit here on my lap. I got things that I gotta tell you. No more skateboards.
Track number three is Hey, Little Tomboy by Brian Wilson and sung by Mike Love, with Brian Wilson, I think, on the top end in parts of it. And I really do like this song, other than the lyrics. I think there's a lot of people that hate it because it's politically incorrect now. Hey, Little Tomboy. And but as a song, I love it. I think the music is fantastic. I think it's catchy. This was actually part of a project Brian was working on that he never finished, called Adult Child, and would have been the follow-up to Love You. And from what I've heard of it, is would have been a step up from Love You. And here's Brian singing one of the verses, and I like his voice for this. And yeah, so I really do like this. I think it's got a 10 on the hook, a 9 in production, a 9 in catchiness, and the weakness is the poetry. You know, just not a fun, not a, you know, kind of a cringy lyric, but again, it kind of what the Love You album was all about, so it kind of makes sense. There was a lot of cringe lyrics on that too, which I talked about in the previous episode. And I really like this instrumental section here. And yeah, so I really enjoy this song, and overall it gets a 7.2. Track number four is Kona Coast, written by Al Jardine and Mike Love. And Mike Love sings most of the lead. Brian has a little section where he actually sings the same tune of the original Hawaii song that they did on the Surfer Girl album, I think. And that's kind of a cool part. And then Al Jardine sings a section of the song too, or a couple sections. This song mostly makes me cringe. It's not one of Mike's better lead vocals. It's kind of where he's heading in these later years. His nasal voice gets kind of irritating, which I actually liked his voice on Hey Little Tomboy. It was a little bit more of a softer kind of vocal, and I think it worked better for him. This one is him trying to sound like the youthful Mike Love, and I just think it doesn't work. I do like that little section that Al Jardine sings. I think his voice is better, but also the music there does something a little interesting. But for the most part, I'm not a huge fan of this song. The catchiness and the hook is the strength of it, and everything else is weak. And overall, this song gets a 5.4. If you knew of Peggy Sue. Track number five is Peggy Sue, written by Buddy Holly, Jerry Allison, and Norman Petty. And Al Jardine sings most of this. And Carl has a little bit of a lead kind of in there as well, but mostly Al. I'm not a fan of this cover. It's kind of like Come Go With Me. While I am a fan of Buddy Holly, this is not a song of his that I typically like. So just a thought there. And this, it seems that Al Jardine is trying to capture the commercial success of 15 Big Ones, I guess. And this is just as about as simple of an arrangement, but more polished than 15 Big Ones. It's not as weird, and the vocals are better, but like, yeah, I'm just not a big fan of it. Overall, this song gets a 4.4. Why don't you come? Track number 6 is Won't You Come Out Tonight, written by Brian Wilson and Mike Love. Lead vocals by Brian Wilson and Mike Love as well. This one has such an annoying beginning of the song that it ruins the rest of it for me. And the rest of it is okay, but it's not good enough to overcome that opening section. In some ways, it's kind of like She's Got Rhythm. But She's Got Rhythm has more of a high point. I think the verses are much better. And this one, the verses are okay. It's listenable. And Brian sings good. I like his voice on here. But the quality of the song is kind of more like 15 Big Ones, maybe a slight better. But yeah, so it's kind of a downer for me. And overall, this song gets a 5.4. There's something special about it, just what I can't quite say. But there's no doubt. Track number 7 is Sweet Sunday Love, written by Brian Wilson and Mike Love, sung by Carl Wilson. I really do like this song. The production of it is interesting. You can tell there's just more of a creative arrangement on this one. Carl's voice is fantastic on this one. I don't know if Carl showed up to the MIU recording studio for this or if it was recorded somewhere else, but yeah, I really do like the production on it, and one of the best songs on the album. And I give this song an 8.4. Track number 8 is Bells of Paris, written by Brian Wilson, Mike Love, and Ron Altbach, sung by Mike Love. I really love this song. I think Mike Love's voice is fantastic on this. In these later years, I think Mike's voice, when he's singing kind of softly, is his best. When he's trying to recapture that nasal, you know, youthful voice is where he gets annoying. But here, I think his voice is fine, and I think the lyrics are very poetic. The production is very solid, in the same way that Sweet Sunday Kind of Love was, and even Match Point has a bit of that interesting Brian Wilson, assuming that he had something to do with the production, but who knows. I somewhat have to guess, because I can kind of hear some interesting arrangement here. Maybe it's Ron Altbach, maybe it's all Al Jardine, but maybe it's Brian Wilson, I don't know. But that's just kind of the vibe I get from it. There's just something special about it, so I just assume Brian had something to do with it. But anyway, this is a really good song, and I give it an 8.2. It looks like rain. Track number 9 is Pitter Patter, written by Brian Wilson, Mike Love, and Al Jardine, sung by Mike and Al. And those are the only lead vocals I can hear on here. I don't really hear Brian. Seems that the backing vocals are not the Beach Boys, except for Mike and Al might be doubling. Brian might be on there a little bit. But I hear a female voice in there too. This is a cringe song to me. I'm not a huge fan of it. Again, this is kind of like 15 big ones, but cleaned up. and yeah, it's just not very good. I get the sense also, I'll mention that after I go through the songs, but overall, this song gets a 4.8.
Now that I have lost my diet, there's no plan as to where to go.
Track number 10 is My Diane, written by Brian Wilson, sung by Dennis Wilson. This has a more feeling on it than a lot of the songs. Dennis has a way of doing that with his singing. He puts a lot of soul into his singing, and I think it's a very good song. I think the arrangement is a little bit more thoughtful. The only thing that makes me cringe a little bit is that lyric, some of the lyrics in there a little bit. They're just a little cheesy, but overall, musically, I think it's good. There's nothing really weak about it. And overall, this song gets an 8.2.
It's been a long, long while since we've been strung out on love. And there's no mask of a smile.
Track number 11 is Match Point of Our Love, written by Brian Wilson and Mike Love, and sung by Brian Wilson. I really like Brian's voice on this. I really like the arrangement of it. I really like the lyrics. And it just fits in the 70s. I think there's a video where Brian is playing tennis with Marilyn. Or maybe it's just in my imagination, but wearing like the 70s kind of short shorts and long socks. And I just picture that for some reason. I remember as a kid, when I was, you know, early 80s, my dad playing tennis and, you know, had the headband and the short shorts and, you know, the Adidas Ocean Pacific t-shirt. That's kind of what I picture when I hear this song. But I love it. I love this song. One of my favorite songs on the album. And I give it an 8.2. The last song is Winds of Change, written by Ron Altbach and Ed Tuleha, and sung by Al Jardine with Mike Love as well. Okay, this song is very adult contemporary. For some reason, I can picture it on a Disney movie or some kind of 80s or 90s kids singing this song for some reason, or a character in a cartoon. It's a nice adult contemporary song if I'm in the mood for it, but it's nothing special. I have to really be in the mood for it. If it's on, you know, if I'm listening to the album, I'm not going to skip it. But it's one of those that's trying to be artsy but isn't anything special. It's solid. It's okay. It's one of the better ones on the album, I guess you could say. And this song gets a 7.0. The album flow gets a 6 out of 10. It's just kind of uneven for me. Some songs have really good arrangements and production. Some don't. Some are cheesy. Some are heartfelt. And so, yeah, I think that struggles a bit on the flow. And I think with Dennis and Carl kind of in the background, it kind of hurt this album. And the little times that they were involved, it helped. I don't think Brian was as focused. He was not taking the lead on this album, with the exception of a few songs. But one of the things I've failed to mention before I'm talking about the songs, with the division of the two factions, the Wilson faction, or I should say Dennis and Carl versus Mike and Al. And Brian was kind of in the middle, didn't really like conflict or taking sides. But Dennis and Carl always wanted to move the music forward. They wanted to continue to be artistic and progressive and creative. Mike and Al wanted to be commercial and go back to what the Beach Boys were known for in the past. Although this song, Winds of Change, was a bit more modern, I guess. But it was all in the idea of being commercial. And not to say that any of them didn't want to be commercial, but they wanted to make good music, I guess the Wilson side. But I think the fact that they were into drugs at the time hurt that side of it, and they were not as focused, and I think that hurt this album. So anyway, that's kind of the thoughts, and it seems that Mike and Al kind of took charge of this album, although there are, I'd say, half good songs and half bad songs, and then there's a few more that are kind of in the middle. But yeah, that's my overall thoughts of this album. And this album gets a 6.61 out of 10. All right. Now, I keep forgetting to mention this over the last few, but I'm going to talk about the alternate album, but it's not going to be MIU. It's going to be Adult Child. That seems like the natural next step. One thing I've been forgetting to mention, I may have mentioned on the last one, but that was several months ago. I don't remember. But you know how the Beach Boys have been coming out with these 50th anniversaries every year or a few years? And if they're doing another one, which I assume they will, it will be probably 74 through 77 is my guess. Because the last one they did was the Carl and the Passion So Tough and Holland albums, which was 72-73 eras, and may have gotten into 74 a little bit, but yeah, so some of these alternate albums I've been doing the last two or three, especially California Feeling, which would have been like 74-75 era, the Love You album, and then this one might need to be redone at some point once, you know, assuming that this 50th release comes out. And I'm really hoping for some kind of an official release of Adult Child because I really like the music on it. So what I'm going to do is take some of those tracks that I've gotten access to. Some of these songs have never been released officially, but yeah, but they're available. You can hear them on YouTube. And half the songs on here that I like will be a part of it. And I have some other surprises as well. And this is going to be like 19 songs, but it's 48 minutes, I believe, is what I calculated it to be. So I'm just squeezing them in there because I really like all these songs. And so I hope you will enjoy it. Side A is more of the Adult Child kind of songs, with a few exceptions. And then Side B has a lot of the MIU songs. And I kind of split them that way because the quality is much different. The Adult Child songs are poor quality because I don't really have official releases on them. And they were never finished, perhaps never polished up. I'm hopeful that in the official release there will be better quality of some of these songs that have never been released. But anyway, I hope you enjoy this. So on we go to Side A.
Thank you.
up an hour-long time ago. Life is for the living. I thought you wanted to see how it would be when you're in shape and your head floats into life. Sit up, ten push up, a new take energy, and so you learn to swim and some juice. Life is for the living. Why don't you get a bit A, feel too great, cut up the speech and start eating three times a day.
Guess you shouldn't laugh. 'Cause if you start laughing, you're just a coward. If you start laughing, you're just a coward.
Everybody wants to live just once. Everybody's got to see it that way and see what your life can be.
There's been songs about celebration, but if you ask me, I can't see why. There's too much pain in my heart now. Ooh, you're gonna have to prove it to me.
Everybody wants to live just once. Everybody's got to see it that way. What your life can be.
Now some people talk about ecology. Why don't somebody do something better right now? And we're all choking on the air that we breathe now. How could we all just let slide by?
Everybody wants to live just once. Everybody's got to see it that way.
Lines around the block, oh lines. Now the clock is striking 7:30.
Ooh, lines around the block. Line. Now the clock is striking 8.
Walk in, sit down. Previews of the coming show. Now the movie's starting, oh, the movie's starting kind of slow, but it'll get better. Oh, there's a scene with these two, oh, he's gonna get her love.
He's gone.
situation.
Thoughts are fleeting now. Still I dream a bit of that happy day when I can say I've fallen in love. And it haunts me so, like a dream that's somehow linked to all the stars above. Young and beautiful, like a tree that's just been planted, I found life today. I made mistakes I ever learn the lessons that all come my way. Still I dream of it, of that happy day when I can say I've fallen in love. And it haunts me so, like a dream that somehow lit to all the stars above. When I was younger, my mother told me Jesus loved the world. And if that's true, then why hasn't he helped me to find a girl and find my world? Till then, I'm just a dreamer. I'm convinced of it. The hypnosis of our minds can take us far away. It's so easy now. You see someone up there high in heaven's here to stay. Still I dream of it, of that happy day when I can say I've fallen in love. And it haunts me so, like a dream that's somehow linked to all the stars above. I'll find my world. I'll find my world. Someday I'll find my world. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah, yeah,
we're taking them down to our side.
you don't. Well, there's a cute little shack that's got a whole lot of shaking going on. Why don't you ask somebody if they'd like to get together and go along? I ain't a gone if you don't. It don't cost too much.
All right, that's the end of side A. I hope you enjoyed that. I just wanted to go through the track listing here of what you've heard so far. New England Waltz, Life is for the Living, It's Trying Hard to Say, sometimes called Baseball, Everybody Wants to Live, Lines, Wild Situation by Dennis Wilson, Shortening Bread, Still I Dream of It, Our Team, and then that last track, which I actually was not familiar with at all, but I was looking for, you know, session tracks from the eras, and this was actually an outtake from the Love You album, and for some reason I just thought it fit better here, and I don't remember why I didn't put it on my alternate Love You album, but here it is. And Mike was singing lead on that. I really enjoyed that as kind of the ending of the side. And I'll go ahead and give you the side B tracks real quick. Match Point, another Dennis Wilson song called Schoolgirl, and then Hey Little Tomboy, Bells of Paris, Sweet Sunday Kind of Love, My Diane. So you can see I put all the my favorite MIU tracks right in a row there. Winter Symphony, and this was on the 1978 or 77 Christmas album that they never put out, but it came out like in the last 20 years, I think. It was on a twofer kind of with the original Christmas album from 63 or 64. And so this is a fantastic song. And then I Love You with Dennis Wilson, and It's Over Now. Now, I had some scratches in here next to Schoolgirl. I put We Got a Groove, and I'm not sure if I was trying to decide which one to use. And then next to I Love You, I put Short Skirts. On side A, next to Wild Situation, I put Lazy Lizzy. I think I was debating whether or not to put Dennis Wilson's songs, whether to keep it kind of with the same vibe. But I decided to put the songs by Dennis that fit best just to strengthen the albums a bit. So, album, I should say. So anyway, enough talking. Here's side B.
It's been a long, long while since we've been strung out on love. And there's no mask of a smile that can hide what we're thinking of. From your heart I hear only distant echoes of empty love. I guess this must be love. only game. Love too often can let you down. It's love's last play. You can only say by the stars above that this must be the match point of our love. Da 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 da.
Smell perfume, let's try some cut-off jeans. Look at all the chains. said casually, I'll bury in the spring, watching all the lovers walk along the Seine. Pitch a penny in her like a wishing well, feed the pigeons in the park near Tour Eiffel. Watching Belgian Fee and the handsome Jean-Bon near the Arc de Triomphe on the Champs-Élysées. Coffee or croissant in a sidewalk cafe. Some people go to see the races at Deauville, or weekend by the racing towns of Mont-Saint-Michel. Some take the Tour de Chartres on an auto bus, while the writers and the artists never leave Montparnasse.
There's no plans as to where to go. gone. Birds fled south with their song. Snowflakes cover the earth quietly. Night extends through the hours, coolly lit by the stars. The pulse of life slows silently. Cuddle up in a cozy nook with a warm drink and a book. Within a winter symphony, somewhere children outside screaming down a daredevil slide. Rosy cheek bundles of cold weather clothes. Hear the winter winds howl, pierced by the hoot of an owl. Fingers of frost take a nip at my nose. Cuddle up in a cozy nook with a warm drink and a book. Within a winter symphony. Winter symphony. Snowflake fantasy warms my heart like a tropic sea. There the sun always shines.
Thank you. Purple haunt me.